Hello, welcome to the Christ Community Church Sermon Podcast. Christ Community is a multi-site church in the Chicago suburbs. Thank you for joining us today. I hope that God uses it to help you take the next step in your relationship with Him. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Do you like good news? Yeah, of course you do. We had a great week at church last weekend. 95 First Steps packets were picked up at our services last weekend. If you don't know what First Steps packets are around here, it's what people pick up when they surrender to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, just so thrilled about that and what God is doing in the life of our church. Now I need to admit something here. I wrote the sermon a few weeks ago, and so it's a hard shift from the prayer we just prayed to the opening of my sermon. It's a riddle. You ready? You ready? Okay, all right. 500 bricks are on a plane. One falls off. How many are left? 499. What are three steps to putting an elephant in a refrigerator? Open the door, put the elephant in the refrigerator, close the door. What are the four steps of putting a giraffe in the refrigerator? Open the door, take the elephant out, put the giraffe in, close the door. The lion throws a huge birthday party. All of the animals but one go. Which is it and why? There you go, it's the giraffe because he's in the refrigerator. You guys are starting to catch on. Sally swims across an alligator-infested river and doesn't get eaten, why? All the alligators are at the lion's party. Some of you are tracking with me and some of you are completely lost. Sally is found unconscious on the ground within the next 5 minutes, why? She was hit by the brick that fell from the plane. We're going to explore Luke 7 today. And much like the riddle, where the answer to the first question informs the answer to the next question, we're going to walk through Luke 7 and we're going to ask a series of questions. And as we do, I think what will happen is we will be able to see some things that we might have otherwise missed. And so to prepare you for what we're about to look at here in Luke 7, I start with this question. What if the worst thing about you that you keep hidden on purpose became known? All right, let's look at Luke 7, starting with verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him, at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's thank God for speaking to us. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, the next question in the riddle is this. What was this woman doing at the party in the first place? What in the world was this woman doing at the party in the first place? Verse 36 again. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so it sounds like a dinner for two, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Why was this woman at the party in the first place? The answer is she was tolerated, but she was not invited. She was tolerated, but not invited. So there is a context clue here that tells us what was actually going on, that helps us imagine the setting correctly. And the context clue is this, that Jesus reclined at the table. So you have to use your imagination here. You read that story, and if you put a modern-day American spin on it, you would think, well, the Pharisee invited Jesus over to his house for dinner, so it's the Pharisee and Jesus. So what in the world is this woman doing at this party? Did she just, like, walk into the Pharisee's house? This is incredibly odd. The answer is no. The answer is that this woman is present. She's tolerated, but she's not invited. The fact that it says Jesus was reclined at the table indicates to us that this was a banquet of sorts. And so we have shared this in a few teachings in this series. Many times in those days, parties were semi-public events. In an honor-shame culture, when you threw a party, your guest list was meant to raise your social capital. And if you imagine just someone's big backyard or someone that has a ginormous property and has a courtyard, or maybe even someone that has a house with a massive banquet room. And there is people invited to the banquet, but these are semi-public events, because remember, it's all about status. It's all about, you know, raising your social capital. And so what would happen is, if you invite people to a banquet, the people who are invited get to recline at the banquet table. So imagine a really big banquet table, and people are reclined at it. And I am actually reclined right now exactly how they would do it. They would recline on their left arm, and they would eat food at the table with their right arm, and then they would have conversation with everybody that's reclined at the banquet table. The people at the table were invited, but there were other people there. They were tolerated. These are people that are milling about. They might be on the outskirts of the room or outskirts of the courtyard, and so they are there. They're not invited to the table, but they are tolerated at the event. So this woman, what's she doing at this event? She's tolerated, but she's not invited. And then it tells us that she's standing behind Jesus. Okay, so if you're reclined at the banquet table, left arm to recline, right hand eating the food, having a conversation with everybody at the table, and the woman comes up behind him, your feet are away from the table. Nobody wants to eat near gross, dirty, sweaty, dusty feet. So their feet were away from the table, just like this. And the woman is weeping. And she comes up behind Jesus, and her tears are falling on Jesus' feet. And so she starts wiping Jesus' feet, and she kisses Jesus' feet. She pours perfume on Jesus' feet. Now just use your imagination here for a moment. This is a moment. Jesus is reclined at this table with all these invited guests, and this is not like a secret thing being done. She's walking up to the banquet table, and she's standing right behind Jesus doing this. Now, a little bit further on in the story, we're gonna learn exactly why her washing his feet and kissing his feet and pouring perfume on his feet, why that's so important and why it matters. But for now, I wanna move on to the next question in the riddle, which is this. Why did the Pharisee invite Jesus to the party? Verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Well, the answer to the question, why did the Pharisee invite Jesus to the party, is that Jesus was invited, but he was not understood. I mean, just think about Simon's reasoning in his own mind. If this guy were really a prophet, I mean, if this Jesus really is who he says he is, then a bad assumption. If Jesus really is who he says he is, then he certainly would want nothing to do with this woman. So obviously, Simon, this religious leader, does not fully understand who Jesus is. He either has a low view of Jesus or an incorrect view of Jesus, which still begs the question, well, then why did he invite him to the party in the first place? Well, the answer is that in an honor-shame culture where throwing parties, your guest list raised your social capital. So it would not be odd for a religious leader, a Pharisee like Simon, to invite Jesus to the party, Jesus who was becoming a more and more popular teacher or rabbi. It would not be odd for someone like Simon to invite Jesus to a banquet. Simon has some reasons that he invited Jesus, and they weren't because he fully understood who Jesus was. Jesus was invited to the party, but he was not fully understood. Here's the modern day application for this. Sometimes it's possible that we invite Jesus to our party, but we don't really fully understand who Jesus is. Here's what I mean by this. And this is where I think words matter. Some of you scratch your head sometimes and wonder why we are so particular about how we talk about coming to faith around here. So if you talk about becoming a Christian, we like to use the phrase surrender to Jesus. Why? Well, it's subtle, but here's why. Think about the phrases, I invited Jesus into my life, or I accepted Jesus into my heart. It's subtle, but when we say I invited Jesus into my life or I accepted Jesus into my heart, I am the primary character in the story. Versus I have surrendered to the lordship of Jesus, now I am responding to Jesus, who is the central character in the story. It's subtle, and it's not technically wrong to say I accepted Jesus into my heart or I invited Jesus into my life, but there is a subtle difference that we want to be careful here. We don't just invite Jesus to our party for our own personal gain. That's what Simon was doing. He was inviting Jesus to his party for his own social capital. And sometimes it's possible that we invite Jesus to our party because there's something we want to get out of it. And the problem with that is that Jesus is not just a genie in the bottle to solve our problems. Jesus doesn't exist to just make our lives a little better, that somehow we now have the creator of the universe blessing our plans and purposes. We don't just add a little Jesus to our lives from a buffet of self-improvement options. We acknowledge Jesus for who he is, the eternal Son of God, the King, the Lord of all. And that's why we like to say, oh, I surrendered my life to Jesus, because when we say that, what we're saying is now, I acknowledge and understand who Jesus is, and I'm surrendering my life to his leadership and his lordship. I don't invite Jesus to my party to just bless me and bless my plans. I surrender to the lordship of Jesus, which completely reorients my life. And so these are subtle things, but they're important things. Okay, next question in the riddle. So then why did Jesus challenge the Pharisee, but not the woman? I mean, this is odd. Simon's a good guy. He's a religious leader. He invited Jesus to the party. He didn't do anything technically wrong. Yet meanwhile, you have a woman who has some kind of public reputation for being a sinner. The story doesn't tell us exactly what it is, but nonetheless, she is a known sinner publicly in that town. Everybody knows her reputation. And yet, Jesus criticizes the Pharisee and not the woman. So what's going on here? All right, verse 40. Jesus answers Simon. Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? And Simon replied, well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, interesting, turns towards the woman, but says to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. So why is Jesus challenging the Pharisee but not the woman? The answer is because Simon was informed, but he was not transformed. Simon was informed, but he was not transformed. First thing that I find interesting in this portion of the story is this. Jesus answers Simon based on what Simon was thinking. Simon did not say his thoughts out loud. I want you to imagine this for a moment. They are reclining at this banquet table. And Simon has thrown this party for his own social capital. They're all reclining at the table. Simon is thinking, if he really were a prophet, he would have nothing to do with this woman. And Jesus responds to what Simon is thinking, not saying. Now, put yourself in Simon's shoes right now. Yo, you are reading my thoughts? And Jesus says, Simon, I have something to tell you. Now, this might escape you, but that particular phrase in those days was a little bit of fighting words. It was a setup to a conversation. It says, you better brace yourself because you're not going to like what you're about to hear. Okay, you know that there are phrases that we use that set up conversations that raise your blood pressure, right? I was thinking about this at home, and so I decided to do an experiment with my 14-year-old daughter. Don't worry, she still loves me. But I was sitting in my family room, and I called for my 14-year-old daughter. Hey, say, Katie, come down to the family room. I need to tell you something. She comes down the stairs, she's standing in the family room, and I just look at her and I said, I need to tell you something. And she goes, oh, I'm nervous, what is it? And I said, nothing, I was just doing an experiment about setting up conversations in a stressful way. She's like, oh, thank God, okay. She goes back upstairs. Other similar setups for conversations like this. You might wanna sit down for this. Or how about this one? I need to be honest with you. Or when someone says, frankly, oh no. Okay, so Jesus says, Simon, I need to tell you something. Jesus has this conversation with Simon at the table with everyone listening. This is uncomfortable. And what Jesus tells Simon is, Simon, here's the deal. You've thrown a lovely party. You have done everything that any of your guests could expect, technically. In terms of the protocols of inviting us over for this banquet, you culturally have done everything technically correct. But the difference between you, Simon, and this woman is she has a warmth and a love and a hospitality that you don't have. And he goes on to say, listen, you didn't wash my feet. She's been washing my feet with her tears. You didn't wash my feet. Now listen, back then, if you were inviting people over for a party like this, you didn't have to provide wash basins for feet or servants to wash your guests' feet. So it wasn't technically expected, but it was a really nice above and beyond thing to do. So Simon wasn't technically wrong, but he was doing like the minimum. He wasn't showing a level of warmth and hospitality. And Jesus says, and you didn't greet me with a kiss. Once again, it wasn't technically wrong to greet every person that's coming to the banquet with a kiss on the cheek. But Jesus is saying, but you didn't even come up and warmly welcome me with a kiss on my cheek. Or the oil perfume thing. She's pouring perfume on his feet. And Jesus says, you didn't even give me oil for my head. So back then also, if you were coming to a banquet like that, it wasn't required that you provide oil for your guests, but it was a very warm, hospitable thing to provide like scented oil, because in an arid climate like that, to give people oil for like dry patches of skin on their head, it was a really nice, warm thing to provide for your guests. It's like some of you that in your guest bathroom, you have really nice scented hand lotion. It's just like the extra touch to say, I really care about the people that are coming over. And what Jesus is saying to Simon is, you're not technically wrong, Simon. You've thrown a party that's fine. But this woman has a love and a warmth and a hospitality for me. Why? Because she has been transformed by the ministry of Jesus. Somehow, prior to this party, she has experienced Jesus and the kingdom of God. We don't know if it was through the preaching of John the Baptist or Jesus directly, but we know that this woman came to the party on purpose, already with warmth and gratitude in her heart for Jesus. She has been transformed by Jesus. She has come to understand who Jesus is, and she has experienced the radical forgiveness of Jesus in her life, and she's expressing her gratitude. She has been transformed. She has a warmth towards Jesus that Simon doesn't have. Simon is informed. He knows the scriptures. He's a religious leader. He knows what the scriptures say about the coming Messiah. He just doesn't think that Jesus is it. So Simon is informed. The woman has been transformed. So now the final question. Who do you think left that party with more peace? The woman or Simon? So verse 47. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Who do you think left with more peace? The answer to the question is that woman was exposed, but she was not disgraced. That woman, everybody knew her sin. Everybody knew it. Whatever it was, everybody knew. And Jesus knew. Her sin was public. Everybody knew her reputation. But listen, let's be real about this. She wasn't the only sinner in the room. The only difference between that woman and everybody else was that her sin was known and theirs was hidden. Now, we don't know much about Simon, so we shouldn't draw conclusions based on stuff that's not in the text. We don't know Simon's moral character. He could have been a very upstanding guy. It's possible that she was, in fact, more immoral than Simon. Or maybe it was just that her sin was more socially unacceptable than Simon's. Maybe Simon was a good guy. Maybe he was a bad guy. But we're all sinners. And so you start playing the comparison game, and the difficulty with the comparison game is that comparison always misses the point. Right? We look at other people and we say, well, I'm not as bad as that dude. Or I'm not as bad as her. Maybe. Maybe not. But comparison always misses the point. And Jesus looks at this woman and he says, your faith has saved you. Important thing to note here. It wasn't her coming to that party and cleaning Jesus' feet and pouring perfume on her feet that saved her. It wasn't anything that she did. She had an experience with Jesus prior to this party. Her faith in Jesus, her acknowledgement of who Jesus is, her reception of God's grace and forgiveness in her life is what has saved her. And she leaves with her dignity. She leaves forgiven. She leaves in peace. Simon, on the other hand, he was publicly confronted at his own party. He throws a party to raise his own social capital and he gets taken down a notch. So who left with more peace? The woman left knowing she's loved, forgiven, and valued. She left with her dignity. Simon? We don't know exactly what he was feeling, but I can't imagine peaceful would describe what he was feeling after that party. So now, the question that was asked at the very beginning. This is the brick that's about to fall from the airplane. It's gonna hit some of us. And when it hits you, I hope it hits you in a very good way. The question that we asked at the very beginning. What if the worst thing about you, the thing that you keep hidden on purpose, became known? For many of us, our gut reaction is, well, that would be terrible. That would be the end of me. Listen, sin and its close partner, shame, don't go away by trying to keep them private. Sin actually grows in the dark, like a life-destroying mold. But what if the biggest thing that some of us are afraid of is actually the thing that would bring us transformation and new life? We often think that our only good option is to hide things, to keep them private, to not acknowledge them. And then we know the hidden private things about ourselves, and then it starts to make us wrongly think, well, God might tolerate me, but he certainly would never invite me to the party. But he has, and he does. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. At Jesus' table, sinners are forgiven. So I want to encourage some of you to bring things into the light. Acknowledge Jesus for who he is, what he's accomplished on the cross for you. Choose to believe and respond to the good news of the kingdom of God, allowing the light and the love of God to transform you. The woman's sin was publicly known, and she left with forgiveness and peace and dignity and a chance at a new beginning. Now, I want to be very careful here and make sure that some of us don't take away the wrong takeaway. I don't think our takeaway from Luke 7 is to broadcast our sin. I don't think you need to buy a billboard. I don't think you need to confess on social media. But you need to tell someone. You need to bring it into the light. We repent and we confess our hidden sin to God, and that's how we receive forgiveness. But then we often need to tell another follower of Jesus who will help us to start to move in the right direction. Here's a few examples. You may need to join one of our sexual integrity groups to break free from sexual addiction, which means you're just gonna have to say the thing. And I think what you'll find is not the shame you're so afraid of. I think what you're gonna find is liberation. Some of you may need to admit something to your community group or your accountability partner that you've been struggling with for a long time and you've been holding it back. Some of you may need to talk to your spouse or your parents, some of you young guys in the room, about your gambling getting out of control. I think what you'll find, if you'll do this, is that the shame needed the dark. Confessing to God and bringing things into the light is liberating. What if the worst thing about you became known? Well, it just might be the best day of your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love, for the good news of the kingdom of God, for forgiveness, for peace, for restoration, for a chance at a new beginning. And I pray now, God, that the sin and the shame that has been growing in the dark would be exposed to the light and the love of God. That many of us who are hearing this today would take the step of putting things in the light to discover forgiveness and freedom and liberation and a chance at a new beginning. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. After sermons, we like to ask, what was a key takeaway from this message? What will you put into practice from this study of God's Word? At our website, ccclife.org, you can find more discussion questions, a prayer wall to post requests and pray for others, and where you can give to Christ Community Church. If you enjoyed this message, you can subscribe and share it with friends or on your socials. Again, thanks for listening.